Two of the laws, two of the protected classes, have an additional requirement. So you can't discriminate based on the protected classes I mentioned, and there are additional protected classes in other states and in some cities, right? So for example, victims of family violence in some cities or some states may have rights not to be discriminated against. So if you find out, for example, that a woman's husband, you know, is violent and you don't want her in the workplace, if you fired her in, let's say, New York, that would be illegal. So you have to look at the state and the city to decide whether or not there's another claim. But with regard to those that are effective in Texas, you have two that have not only the requirement that you not discriminate, but you have the additional requirement that you accommodate. And those are for religion and for disability. And failure to accommodate is a cause of action in and of itself. I had a client who had, they were moving their office to a new space. And so the manager sent out a note to everybody saying, I want everybody here on Sunday, it was either Saturday or Sunday, to work, to come in, you need to sit at your desk, IT is going to be here, we're going to make sure everybody's computers are operational, phone systems are working, so that when we start on Monday morning, everything is good to go. And one employee emailed and said, I can't, that's my Sabbath, I can't work on my Sabbath. And then her best friend sent in an email, said, me too. All right. Well, the HR director was out of the country on vacation, and so the management fired both, thinking, well, I'm not treating them differently. I'm requiring that everybody be there, so anybody who refuses to come will be fired. So that's equal treatment. I'm like, you're right. You didn't discriminate based on religion, but you failed to accommodate. And that was the part that they missed. So turns out that, and rightfully so, they clearly violated the law of the first employee. The second employee appeared to not have any religion other than the, I go to the malls on Saturdays. So she was not successful, but the first one was. So that's an additional obligation on behalf of employers with regard to religion and with disability. And it generally requires a dialogue, generally involves human resources. If you have human resources, you have to kind of consider multiple factors, and it's best if you can document those efforts. I tend to dissuade people from letting managers handle accommodation issues on their own, because they will accommodate and accommodate and accommodate until they accommodate themselves into a corner, and then there's no way out, and they've been putting up with it so long, now the argument is it doesn't create an undue hardship because you've been doing it for 4 months, you know. Or, you know, they haven't documented everything that they've done. They don't stop and think about all the little things they've done until the employee is no longer really doing their job anymore. And the employee has to be able to, the whole idea of accommodation is that they have to be able to perform the essential functions of their job. So the accommodation is to enable them to do that. So if they can't do that, then, you know, maybe accommodation isn't really the right thing. Maybe there's no way really to accommodate them in that job. So, but it's like high school math. Remember when you got the answer right, but the teacher graded you down because you didn't show your work? The same is true for accommodation, right? You have to show your work. You have to show that you went through the analysis. So I had a guy who drove 18-wheelers, diagnosed with sleep apnea, and so obviously he wasn't going to be driving. but I said, you know, we have to dot our I's, cross our T's. So we got a note from the doctor. We sent the doctor a, you know, note. We gave it to him. He gave it to his doctor. This is his job description. You know, this is how many hours he drives. You know, can he do the job? And the doctor wrote back and said, oh, of course he can do the job, as long as he doesn't drive at night. He doesn't drive more than, like, you know, 45 minutes of time. He doesn't drive in heavy traffic. He doesn't drive, I mean, you know, and I was like, okay. So we sat down with the employee, and this was a national company, and we said, okay, this, you know, there may be a way for us to move you to a different city where you would have an in-city route. Would that be of interest to you? And the employee said, no. I'm not moving out of Booger Hollow or wherever he was, right? But what started out as a very contentious situation where it was clear he had a lawyer ghostwriting his letters for him because he was expecting that he would get fired, ended up with a thank you note for how well the company had treated him. Because we it's hard for an employee who loses their ability to perform a job that supports their family to recognize that they can't do it anymore. And so even if the employer knows they can't do it anymore, you know, just saying, okay, well, you're out of here is probably not the best approach. You know, you sit down with them, and you can't make assumptions about a condition. For example, there are people with sleep apnea who still do drive. So you have to find out, how serious is this? Is it treated with medication? You know, how often, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to look at each situation, find out how it affects them, what are their limitations, what can we do that will enable them to perform this job? If not this job, is there another job available? I know years back we used to be able to say, if they can't do their job, you don't have to find another job for them, but it's a little fuzzy now. So I would just say, if you have another job that they're qualified for and it's open, consider, you know, making that available to them as an accommodation. It's safer that way.